In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The writers of all four Gospels are in the habit of suddenly dumping an assortment of bits and pieces into their narrative, rather like the bargain shelf after our book and food sale and our bazaars. Today's reading from St. Luke's Gospel is an example of this. Immediately before the bit we heard this morning, there's a bit of teaching on temptation. And then these two unconnected pieces on faith and works. Although putting it like that makes it sound as if there is a connection, because the relationship between faith and works was the major controversy at the time of the Reformation, and indeed since then. All the same, what Jesus has to say about works here is instructive, whichever side of the Reformation divide you stand on. It is another of those hard sayings of Jesus, and at first sight it looks very ungracious. The master is not expected to thank or to praise his slaves, but simply tells them to get on with the next job. It does not look like good modern business management. In fact, one study booklet on Luke designed for house groups that I consulted simply skipped over these verses altogether, obviously deciding they weren't very fruitful. The problem here is that this booklet, along with others like it, simply treat the Bible as a kind of code or an instruction manual, and we are expected to supply the applications. But that isn't really what the Bible is all about or what it's for. Remember, for instance, the verse in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 31. These things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. If you view the Bible as a list of instructions to be ticked off, rather like the rich young man who comes to Jesus and says, "These commandments have I kept from my youth," then you could come to think that the master's slaves, and indeed we, deserve the occasional pat on the back, that we can put God under an obligation to us, or that we can run up a healthy credit in our heavenly bank balance. Some people also view going to church as a way of adding to this bank balance. But in fact, it comes back to that verse, John 20, 31. The liturgy and the sacraments are all to do with belief, not works. By worshipping together, we express our belief, and at the same time, our belief is strengthened and guided. And through believing, as the fourth gospel tells us, we may have life in his name. The gospel, as we know, is not a collection of handy hints, but good news. So how is Luke 17, verses 7 to 10, good news for those slaves, and good news for us, for that matter, when it seems to be very short on praise and thanks for all we've done? In short, it is good news because it sets us free, strangely, for people who are called unworthy slaves. The thing is, though, although a slave belongs to his master, he cannot be dismissed. Similarly, if we say, "We belong to Jesus," then he is not going to dismiss us either. In John 6:37, he says, "Anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away." We do not, as it were, have to put in overtime to win the Lord's favour. We cannot put him into our debt by our works. And so looked at the other way round, he does not require us to earn merit with him. This frees us from the rather driven mentality of some Christian teaching that you must make a conscious effort to fill every moment of your time doing God's work. Yes, there is probably more that we could or should do, but it is his work, and he will give us the time and the opportunity. As the recently beatified Cardinal John Henry Newman wrote, "God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me, which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. God has not created me for nothing. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments. Therefore, I will trust him. Whatever, wherever I am, I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. He does nothing in vain. He knows what he is about. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirits sink, hide my future from me. Still he knows what he is about." Those are Newman's words. God knows what is our duty for each one of us. And that is what he asks of us. No less, no more. Amen.